Welcome everyone to the MMQB Gambling Podcast week. What are we? Week 15 in the NFL. Now you get the Saturday games. I love those personally. As always, I am one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Trainor, joined, not as always, Gary Grambling, who's usually on this podcast, the MMQB senior editor, out this week, party too hard during the Cardinals-Lions game.
Still, the Gary Bowl.
And he's still recovering from the Gary Bowl. Gary, of course, had those teams basically playing in the NFC Championship before the season.
Oh, boy.
And now he's recovering from that game. His brother, Scott Grambling, the not managing editor. I'll get it right.
You got it.
Oh, okay, managing editor of drfsportsforum.com is here as always. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing well, Coming off a 2-2 best bets. I will say Gary went 4-2 on his best bets.
4-2 best bets. I know. Lions, Cardinals, and he's not here because
he's not here to sing about it. So I was 2-2. I'm now 56% on best bets this year. So I need a little bit of a run here because I want to end up at 60%. I think we owe it.
Yeah. So since Gary's still partying with Matt Stafford. We've brought in the host of The Line, and he does several other things for SITV and SI Video, Ben Teitelbaum. Ben,
thank you
aboard.
For having me, Jimmy. So glad to be here, and I want to remind everyone before we get going that I still haven't missed a pick on this podcast.
Right,
you're
perfect.
Sterling record.
Yes, that's right.
I was 2-2 last week, and still bitter about 2 weeks ago with the Steelers. I know Scott is too.
Yes.
I could skip going through the games and just talk about that
for
an hour.
Steelers-Chargers game is going to haunt me for a while.
All right. We'll try to forget it here in Week 15 as we go through the board. We started off with the two Saturday games. First one, 4:30 NFL Network on Saturday, so get the Christmas shopping done early. The Texans, coming off a loss, give 6.5 points to the Jets. Total 41.5. Jets here are the home team. Scott, what do you got?
I think the number's about right in this game. I feel like you've got to be a bit wary of these road favorites. We saw what happened last week, and I know it's just a sample size of 1 week, but Patriots losing outright, Steelers losing outright, Denver losing outright at San Francisco, and we had the Rams losing outright against the Bears. I'm staying away from this game. If I had to take one of the sides, I would take Houston. Houston 5-2 against the spread.
Let me interrupt you for one.
Sure.
Before you give this stat, let me interrupt
you. Sure.
Are you going to say it's Houston?
No. You said you're staying away from the game.
Yes.
Now, I know me personally. Saturday, 4:30. There's nothing going on. This is it. Standalone game. You don't have the board. Will you really stay away?
He doesn't know about the Camellia Bowl.
He's got the Camellia Bowl's later. This is a Cure Bowl.
There are bowl games. That is true.
Yeah, I'm
because I know, like, I would say myself too, like, this game's a pig. I'll stay away.
Yeah. I think I'll
And then
stay
at
away.
About 4:20, I'm on fivedimes.com and I don't know what happened.
Well, that's why I'm only playing the first half on the first half under in the Utah State North Texas game. So maybe at halftime, I know that I'm collecting there. But you make a good point, Jimmy. I feel like, you know, that under 33.5 first half line, actually, that's what I have on the New Mexico Bowl. That's North
Texas.
Get
off
Utah
the college.
State.
We got stick to Jets Texans.
Jets Texans. Yeah. The Texans 5-2 against the spread is a road favorite under Bill O'Brien. If I had to take it, I would go Houston, but I am.
You'll be
I'm
immersed
planning,
in the balls.
All right, let me
You'll
say,
be immersed in the
I'm
balls.
Planning to stay away from that game, but you're right. Once it rolls around, I might I might dabble.
Don't try to fool the degenerates out there. We know how it works. Ben, what do you like? What do you got on the team?
So here's what concerns me. We see it every week. Teams that are road favorites, clearly the better team, just laying an egg. We saw it last week, Pittsburgh against the Raiders. I can go on and on going back. We saw the Rams against the Bears. Bears are a good team, so, you know, that's a little bit different. But that means that one of three games is going to go against what we think. It's either going to be the Texans here, it's going to be the Saints at the Panthers, or it's going to be the final game on the list. I mean, I forget it every time I want to think
about it.
Seattle, San Francisco, which we will get to later. So one of those games, I think we see an outright upset. I don't think this is it. But like you said, Scott, line is a little bit careful. One thing I'm going to be looking for on Saturday is some props. I think Sam Darnold gets sacks a lot. I don't care how heavy the odds are. I'm going to bet him to throw a pick. I think this is a props game more than it is a line or an over-under.
I like Houston just on a bounce-back factor after losing to the Colts. I think they turn it around. I wouldn't jump off the – listen, they got a lot of lucky wins in the tank, but – loss there could be a good – last week is a good spot now to, I think, go with them this week. against a Jet team coming off a win here. I like basically going the opposite way of how everything turned out last week in this game, and obviously Texans need the game for playoff implications. All right, the second Saturday game, good one, I think, at night. It is the Browns going into Denver. Both teams the Browns won, Denver coming off the loss, but of course that was on the road. Now they're at home where they're a different team. Broncos giving 2.5 to the incoming Browns, total 45.5. Ben.
So I wanted initially to go with the Broncos. That's what my gut said. I was like, well, Baker against pressure, that doesn't sound great to me. And then I actually did some research, and Baker is 8th in the NFL in passer rating against pressure. Even though he's a rookie and he's taken some lumps, he seems to do pretty well when things collapse around him. I guess that's what people loved about him in college, his improvisational ability. I think we see it here. The number at some point was a little bit longer. If it was more than a field goal, I would definitely go with the Browns. I could see this being a field goal either way. My gut says Mile High December Broncos, but I don't want to bet against Baker right now.
Right, so that's a stay away from you, Scott.
Yeah, the sportsbooks tried to hold the line at 3 on this, and it just too much money coming in on the Browns, and it sent it to 2.5, which is a significant move, obviously, off that magic number of 3. So I do like the Browns in this spot here. I just feel like, and I know we're always hesitant to overreact to a performance, but Denver's performance was abysmal against the 49ers. And without Emmanuel Sanders in that lineup, Case Keenum just doesn't seem to know where to go. It
right.
really is a bunch of also-rans at receiver. Denver averaged 4.4 yards per pass attempt at San Francisco. It's a San Francisco team on defense, doesn't turn opposing teams over, doesn't get that much pressure on the quarterback. I just feel like that they've kind of reached their breaking point, perhaps, the Browns, in this situation where they've traded away Demaryius Thomas. Emmanuel Sanders is hurt. Cortland Sutton has not stepped up as a rookie. They have too much youth among that receiving core, nobody at tight end. If I had to play it, and I probably will end up playing it, it would be Cleveland.
You see, Scott said it all here. When I saw the line Denver -2.5, I said I'm betting the Broncos. I don't care what happens, because I bet them last week. They were embarrassed at San Francisco. It finished 2014. It wasn't competitive that game, basically, especially the first half. But now Denver's at home. It's a whole different ballgame when they're at home. But that game last week, I watched the entire game because I bet them. I could not believe what that passing game was like. It was pathetic. And then because it was pathetic, they couldn't get Philip Lindsay going. And I love the Browns. I root for Baker every week. They're playing well. So I want to pick Cleveland. But I don't love doing this. I would still bet Denver just for the home field. I think that it's night and day when they're at home. Cleveland off a win. It's a young team. Now they go to Denver. I'm very worried about Denver can't complete a pass, but I would still go with Denver.
I'm with you, Jimmy. 3 of the last 4 games, Cleveland's won. I don't think this Browns team is all of a sudden a way above average team. They have the pieces to eventually be there. But is this really a team that wins 4 of 5 and does it against...
Well, listen, with the new coach there, anything's possible.
Oh, please, Greg Williams.
But look at how they've played since...
That might be in spite of Greg Williams and as an anti-Hugh Jackson thing, not at all because of him. I don't see this as a 4-win-in-5-game team.
Well,
him as a 1-win-in-1-game
right.
team at this point.
Right. Right.
Is that some statistics for me?
I have to think that with Denver, maybe a week to prepare to get their passing game in order, they can pull out here when you just, they're given less than a field goal. All right. Sunday, the 1 o'clock slate. We begin with two teams out of it. The Falcons giving 10 points at home to the Arizona Cardinals, total 44. Scott.
This game, I mean, 10 points with this Falcons team,
yeah.
It's crazy to me. It's the worst team against the spread in the NFL this year.
Right.
3-10 against the spread. You just can't lay that many points with such a bad team. They are a bad team. There's offensively, really since Sarkisian took over as coordinator last year, right? And coming into this year, I know there was a lot of people, and I think SI was really all over the Falcons, and the excuse has been, oh, so banged up on defense, so banged up on defense. The offense hasn't done much either. And a lot of the narrative was, oh, second year for Matt Ryan under an offensive coordinator. Well, that just hasn't panned out. And I think when you look at the fact that the Falcons 2-9 against the spread since the start of last season against teams that allow 350 total yards per game or more, that kind of says what you need to know about this Falcons offense. They don't take advantage of bad defenses. And, you know, as for Arizona, you know, I know they lost the Gary Bowl last week, but it could be a bounce back after losing the Gary Bowl.
And look, scored just 3 points, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Look, they're not – but their last road game, which was 2 weeks ago, they won in Green Bay. Right. I know Green Bay's had his problems. I just think that the numbers –
You like Arizona with the 10.
I like Arizona. What I like more in this game is under 44. And that's the way I would play this game, under 44.
It's crazy that Atlanta hasn't scored more than 20 points in 5 weeks with everything they have on that offense. I think Dan Quinn should be fired just because he hasn't fired Steve Sarkisian yet. That, to me, is managerial negligence. Steve Sarkisian has failed at many levels of football. We see it all over. We see it in sports media. We see it everywhere, failing upwards. And to me, Steve Sarkisian is almost
so are you on Arizona plus 10?
I'm on Arizona. And you know what? Everyone thinks they're terrible, and some weeks they are. They have had moments when they've been blown out. They've lost a couple games by 30 this year. But they are actually 3-2-1 against the spread on the road. We saw them go into Lambeau. Yeah, the team has issues, but I don't think it is home or away dependent. I think the line is inflated. I love the 10.
I don't have any opinion on this game. Both teams are gross. I don't. The line, the total, nothing. I'm skipping it. All right, next game, the Ravens at home giving 7.5 to the Bucks. Total, 46.5. I do have an opinion on this game. I like the Ravens a lot here. Tampa played hard, and they've been playing hard, and now I think they go on the road and they get a little shellacking. They're out of it. I have not loved what I've seen from Lamar Jackson, but the Raven defense is legit. This whole thing with Tampa Bay going up and down the field and scoring, Fitzmagic this, Winston that, that's not happening this week. I don't think Tampa Bay puts that many points on the board at all, and I think the Ravens got to cover. Ben, your thoughts?
This is a tough one for me. I don't like the hook there, the extra half point. This Ravens team to me is very solid, but I don't like Lamar Jackson right now getting more than a touchdown. Giving more than a touchdown. I'm staying away.
Scott?
I'm not going to play this game. If I had to play it, I would take the Ravens here. I kind of agree with what you're saying, Jimmy. They have played relatively hard the last 3 weeks. All those games have been at home.
Right.
And the last two of those three have been in the division.
Right.
This is a different.
They went all out against the Saints last week. They still lost 28-14.
Still lost by 2 touchdowns. Right. Exactly. If I had to play it, I would take the Ravens here. I also, like Ben says, I don't love giving more than a touchdown with a team that I don't think is that quality a team offensively. But the fact that the Buccaneers make as many mistakes as they do, it's certainly within the realm of possibility that you end up with a 28-17 type outcome.
I'll take it.
Maybe that's stupid of me. They beat Oakland by 17 with Lamar Jackson. They beat Atlanta by 10. So they've clearly won by double digits with Lamar Jackson. So maybe that's totally the heart over the head. Maybe the head says, you know what, they figured out a way to win. But for some reason, my heart says, uh-oh.
And they went right
scary.
Down to the wire with the Chiefs last week, so I like the bounce back factor. I just think their defense, and I think, you know, keeping it on the ground here gets it done. And I think this is a low-scoring number here for Tampa Bay going on the road. The next game is ugly. The Bills are giving 2 at home to the Lions. Lions underdogs in Buffalo. Total 39.5, Scott.
I actually like the Bills an awful lot in this one. I think that them laying such a small amount, you look at Detroit in recent seasons, this is a team that their last 17 December road games, they're 4-13 against the spread, and those 4 against the spread wins have been at Arizona, Tampa Bay, and twice indoors at New Orleans. They've all been warm weather or indoor games. You put this team outside, a difficult back-to-back road games out in Arizona, now in Buffalo. This just seems like a go-through-the-motions kind of game for a team that, isn't playing for anything, right? They're 5-8. The Bills do continue to play hard, and I think, I'm not blaming it all on this, but I think when you get rid of somebody like Kelvin Benjamin, you send a little bit of a message, and I do think this team plays hard for McDermott. Yes, they've lost the last two games. They lost them by 4 points apiece. This is a different scenario here. I just don't see the Lions really showing up for this one.
Ben?
I think I like the Lions. Apparently, they've been practicing outside, and I kind of believe we saw a bunch of stats.
Mind you, Ben is filling in for Gary, so he's doing a good job right now, liking the Lions.
Well, Gary may be texting me as I talk. There also might be some inception. Who knows if this is actually me or if something's afoot. I don't know if I fully buy the cold weather thing. I don't know if I fully buy the going east thing. There have been a bunch of stats this year which have seemed to run counter to those conventional wisdoms, and I think some of those going outside and going east statistics came from a time before they had the type of travel they have now, before they had the type of training and strength training, conditioning training, practice. There's so much more science. There's so much more analysis. Yeah. You understand what the body needs to do to get ready for the games. So I almost throw that out a lot more and just look at the teams. I think they're evenly matched teams. I don't necessarily see that home field for the Bills. They're the type of scrappy team that actually play as well at home as on the road. So I think if they're evenly matched teams, the best player on both teams is probably – well, between the quarterbacks, it's Stafford. And so I think they have a shot. And so I don't love the Lions, but I like the Lions.
Look, I was at two Bills games in a six-day period. And they
Lucky you. They
were formidable, losing those games – only 66 to 15 combined. So I don't know what you're talking about.
The Jets.
No. The two I was at was New England on the Monday night and then back against Chicago. But I know what you're saying, Ben. I'm talking more about what the Lions have done the last couple of years, playing out the string down in
You want to tell the viewers what I pulled up on my computer right now?
You pulled up the biggest aberration in the history of NFL handicapping,
which
is Bills 27, Vikings 6.
And, of course, I want to bet against them this week.
Earlier this season. But, no, look, the Lions have consistently underwhelmed in December, especially on the road, especially in the cold. I do like that angle for this game.
We've spent way too much time on that game. I would go under if I had to pick a game, if I had to pick a side there. We go to Chicago. The Bears are giving 6 points to the Packers. Total 45. It's nice to see the Bears getting the respect. They've been on them all year. I've touted them many times here and now. They're at home giving 6 to the Packers. Who would have thought that earlier this season? Ben?
Give me the under.
45 is the total.
I think it's a close game. I could see the Bears winning by a touchdown. I could see the Packers even squeaking one outright. I don't like picking either team here, but I think we're going to see a lot of December games and January games for Chicago go beneath the total.
Scott?
I would lean Green Bay here. I think it's a lot of points for a divisional game between these teams. I can't say I love it enough that I'm actually going to play it, but I think that coming off that big win for Chicago against the Rams, could be a little bit of a letdown. Green Bay is 9-2 against the spread at Chicago. Last 11 times they've been there. I know it's a much different Bears team, but I do think that the Packers, with the coaching change, I think they seemed a little bit revitalized. I know it was against Atlanta. I can't read too much into it, but a lot of points for a divisional game against a Green Bay team that should be capable.
Chicago 6-1 against the spread at home. Plus 8 points against the spread at home. So very, very good there.
Right. I mean, a 48-10 win against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that'll help.
That
you're true.
I like the Packers. The Bears. I like the Bears. I think this is sort of going to be their
exclamation point.
Yes. For their season. They've gotten better each week. I'm not buying a Packer turnaround with Joe Philbin there because of last week playing an awful Falcons team. I think that defense gives Aaron Rodgers fits on Sunday. And, you know, Rodgers has been miserable all year. The body language is terrible when bad things start to happen. I like the Bears laying less than a touchdown at home in this game. The next game, two teams out of it as well. Man, this is a rough slate here. If you're just an NFL fan, even if you don't bet, rough slate until you get to New England, Pittsburgh at 425. The Steelers, you could say, are out of it. Well, not out of it, but
you're just still upset about that
right.
loss.
You got that right. I see Steelers and I'm triggered. The Bengals at home giving 2.5 to the Raiders, who have been playing a little bit better. Total 46. Scott,
I like Cincinnati in this game. I just think they're the better team. I think when you look at the Raiders, yeah, big win against the Steelers, but this is a Raiders team that can't seem to string two good performances together. You look at the Raiders since the start of last season when they're coming off and against the spread win and they're going on the road, they're 0-6 against the spread. I feel like Cincinnati played respectably and then some in the game against the Chargers. That was a close game. I would take, with such a small spread at home, I would play the Bengals here.
Ben.
Sorry, can I just add?
Oh, yeah.
I would go under. I would definitely go under in this one. That's my favorite angle on it. Go ahead.
My favorite stat in the NFL this week is the fact that the Bengals are winless since they hired Hugh Jackson back. It is just absolutely wonderful, and I hope it keeps coming. But I have a question for you about the Raiders. I'm curious your take on this. I'm talking with another colleague earlier. This was about a month ago when the Raiders had only won one game. And I said an over-under for total John Gruden wins as Raiders head coach at 20. You going over or under that number?
Over.
I would go under. I think after next year, he's probably going to say, I don't need this aggravation.
Oh, no, they're going to stick with him with Vegas. That's the whole reason he took the job to get him
true.
To Vegas.
That's true.
The draft is now going to be in Vegas in 20. No.
Right, but that doesn't mean they're going to win games.
My thought was he wins 3 this year, 3 next year. They take him to Vegas. In the fourth year, he's won about 16 total games, and it's 4 years later, and they finally fire him.
Yeah, I would go under on that.
Yeah,
but
I think he's going to have a 7-9 season in there somewhere.
So just because of that reason, I'm taking the Bengals. Because
all right. How about this? Not to go off topic, but we should set over-under on Hugh Jackson wins on the staff of a AFC North team. Since he took over the Browns. So what is he combined with the Bengals stuff, right? 0-5, and what was he with the
3-31.
Anyway.
And a couple of times.
Here's the thing.
I think.
You can talk about Hugh Jackson all you want. I've written this in my column. I've said this before. To me, and it's not the biggest – to me, the biggest travesty in all of sports is that Marvin Lewis is still a head coach in the NFL. I mean, you've been there for 400 years, and you've never – ever won a playoff game.
It's lazy ownership.
It's just spitting in the face of every Bengals fan. It really is.
We had Brian Billick as a guest on SI Now, Sports Illustrated's daily sports news show, which I work on as well. Everyone should go check it out. And Brian Billick said something that made my jaw drop last week. He said, you can do different from Marvin Lewis, but you can't do better than Marvin Lewis. And we pushed him on the show and said,
that's why it's useless to interview coaches. Don't interview coaches. It's a ridiculous. They stick up for each other and don't say anything interesting and say stupid stuff like that.
I mean, I would also say, I think 5 years ago, this might sound ridiculous, 5 years ago, I think the Bengals from player 2 through 53 had a top 5 roster. I thought Andy Dalton was a weak
right.
link. And when you looked at that defense, right, when Dunlap was in his prime and Atkins is in his prime and you've got A.J. Green, a top-notch receiver, and before Jeremy Hill had injury, and they had all those offensive linemen. Now they got Whitworth over in with the Rams.
Yeah.
But they had a top-five roster, 2-53, and they still haven't won a playoff game.
Again, way too much time spent on that game. I won't watch it, bet it, or acknowledge it. Let's go to a good game. Finally, Colts giving 3 at home to the Cowboys. Total 47. Cowboys coming off that overtime win against Philly. Colts coming in with a win at Houston. So you got two teams here coming off the W's. Colts at home minus 3, total 47.
I like the Colts here. I like the fact that their offensive line has been very, very good this year, and Dallas has mucked up games with their defensive pressure. I like the fact that if Andrew Luck stays clean like he mostly has, or clean-ish, he's really become that elite quarterback he was several years ago. And I love Frank Reich. This is a team that, yes, is lacking some of the skill position players. Doesn't matter, except for a couple of blips here and there. They have found ways to create offense. Dallas, I think, is a very strong team. I actually think they're a sneaky contender. I wouldn't be shocked. Well, Jason Garrett will find some way to mess it up. But I wouldn't be shocked if, despite Jason Garrett, they maybe sneak into the Super Bowl. But I think this week, everything considered, I like the Colts.
I had a buddy that once snuck into the Super Bowl, so maybe Jason Garrett can talk to him and learn how he did it.
I should tell you about a former SI employee who stayed in the bathroom for 10 hours to watch a Guns N' Roses concert for free, but I don't want to name names. Let's get to the Cowboys and
Colts. Is that why
that
Gary's
wouldn't be Gary
not
Gramling,
here?
Would it?
No, it's not Gary, but...
This is a good game. This is a sneaky good game, right? You look at the Cowboys, they've won five straight. You look at the Colts here, who have won six of seven. I like the Colts in this spot. I just think they've been a different team at home. When the Colts were awful during the first half of the year, it's because they were really banged up. They've really gotten most of their key players back now. And you look at what they've done at home. They've won four straight at home, winning by an average margin of 16.5 points per game. I like the Colts here to win. I don't think they're going to crush the Cowboys, but I do like laying this amount of points.
Touchdowns, all you need.
I could be a six or seven point win for the Colts here.
This one is really, I think it's a tough
one.
Two
good
teams, really,
right?
Is. I do like the under. I think with the Cowboy defense, I think they'll be able to slow down Andrew Luck a little bit there. I don't see the Colts putting up a ton of points. I do like the under 47. I want to pick a side so badly in this, I just don't have a feel for it, but I do like under 47. Another game here that we should like really 30 seconds. The Jaguars are giving 7.5, which now when I looked at the lines for the first time this week, I saw Jacksonville minus 7.5. I'm like, that's a typo. Who are they? They're not. And then I saw they're playing Washington. The total here, I don't think we've seen one lower than this all year, 36. Scott.
I would take the Redskins because of the points, but I'm not going to watch nor wager on this game.
What do you think of the 36 total? Because you like your over-unders.
Yeah, I would go over this, but not. I don't like it enough that I would pull the trigger on it. I mean, doesn't it?
You got five defensive touchdowns to go over the 36 there with Josh Johnson and Cody,
right?
Kessler?
Well, I mean, that is part of it, though, is yeah. The turnovers and short fields.
Right.
And, you know, you could see this game ending up, 21-16 or some garbage like
right.
that.
Because of the turnovers, yeah.
Yeah, if I had to play it, I would go just because it's such a low number. And we've right. seen a lot of these games, right? Go to the Bills-Jets games and things like that. There was the Titans-Jaguars game a week ago Thursday had a low total.
Right.
But I'm staying away from this game in all way, shape, and form. Again, two bad teams. When there's two bad teams playing and you're getting more than 6 points, I think you got to take the points.
Ben?
I will be parlaying the Washington football team with the under. I think it finishes something like 12-6.
12-4, maybe.
Two safeties?
Sure, I'll take it.
Six safeties against two safeties?
I'll disagree with you. I think it's going to go under. I cannot see.
I'm with you.
The Redskins and Jaguars here. Listen, if you're betting under 36, you're going to be nervous about the pick six possibility. And now, like Scott hit it right in the head. It doesn't have to be a pick six. It's run it back to the 10, run it back to the 20, and then
muff a punt.
Yeah. But I have a feeling this is going to be a field goal fest. I'm going to call, if there's a prop bet on field goals, that's the game to do it. This is an interesting one. The Vikings at home giving 7.5 to the Dolphins coming off the miracle. 44.5 is your total, Ben.
If it were 6.5, I would be betting the Vikings. At 7.5, I like the Dolphins. I think the Vikings win by a touchdown here. So it's a little bit too close for me to want to bet on. I do have this game in a ton of teases. The Dolphins are awful on the road. They've only won one road game this year, and it was against the Jets. So I think the Vikings definitely win this game, especially in a must-win situation. I just don't know how much they do it by, so I'm going to be putting it in a ton of teasers. You know me, Jimmy. I love a good teaser.
I meant to check. Is it going to be Tannehill this week?
Tannehill.
Oh, so it is Tannehill because he was banged up a little bit last week. Scott, Vikings coming at home, coming home off the loss in Seattle here, 7.5. Line scare you? What do you like?
Dolphins are awful on the road. You know, Ben brought up one win was against the Jets. I mean, that was the second week of the season. Jets rookie quarterback coming on a short week after playing the Monday night game. So they've lost their last five on the road by an average of more than 16 points per game. The Vikings, however, are a bit of a mess, and that's an understatement, and changing offensive coordinators and coming off a short week.
I want to get your take on this, guys, sure. Because we were having some conversations earlier. When you flip an offensive coordinator, it could go both ways,
sure.
Right? Either the team is reinvigorated, the new schemes work, or the team just doesn't latch on, falls more into a mess. Where do you land on this and what we'll see offensively out of the Vikings?
I'll tell you where I land on this. I think they're going to go with a basic plan. They change offensive coordinators, and they do it on a short week, right? They're going to go back to fundamentals, and I think they'll simplify things, and I think that's going to be good for this quarterback and that receiving core. That's how I think this one in particular
would play
out.
Zero targets for Thielen in the first half last week. That is unforgivable.
It was not forgiven. It was fireable.
There you go. So you say, Adam Thielen, you need to throw him the ball, and Kirk Cousins, I guess, tries to throw him the ball.
And I think if they simplify it, and I think with Xavien Howard being out in this game, that's what has me leaning pretty strongly in the direction of the Vikings.
All right. I don't know where to go on this game. I've been so disappointed in the Vikings. With that offense, with the talent on offense, Thielen and Diggs and Rudolph, they should be much better than this. And I would be very nervous laying 7.5. So that's a stay away.
I will say that they have yet to win or cover the spread against a team with a winning record. The Dolphins do have a winning record. However, I put the Dolphins more in, lump them in with the teams with losing records.
There's an amazing stat that's out there about Kirk Cousins, and I'll look it up while we do the next game that I saw. Because I want to get to the last 1 o'clock game. It's a game I like a lot. Giants giving 2 to the incoming Titans, total 43.5. Do I think the Giants are making the playoffs? Absolutely not. Have they been eliminated? No. Is there like this nonsense talk here that they have a chance? Yes. So I think that fight maybe keeps them alive and you're only laying 2 at home. I like the Giants.
I like the Giants.
I love the Giants.
Look at this.
Clean sweep.
Oh, boy. Pat the Titans.
Our regular listeners know what that means. The Titans in big. Go ahead, Scott. What do you got on this one?
Yeah, I think, for the reasons you pointed out, I feel like this is a Giants team that is playing a lot more loose. Maybe it took time for that offensive line to come together. I'm not particularly impressed with what the Titans have done in recent weeks on the road. They lost by 28 at Indy. They lost by 17 at Houston, their last two road games. My favorite play in this game is the over. I do think that there will be points scored in this game, and that is a relatively low total when you're looking at it. And I feel like, I feel like it goes easily over 43.5. That's my favorite angle in this
one. Before the season started and early in the season, we were all on the Giants. I had them as an over. I gave them more, because the thought process there was Barkley, Odell, Evan Ingram, Shepard.
Minus McAdoo equals more than 8 wins.
Right. And it took them, and their offensive line was so bad they were in shambles. It looks like they've stabilized that. And just by stabilizing that, with that offensive talent, they've been able to really put up a lot of points lately. Now, listen, yes, Redskins, bad team where they did, but they've been playing better each week. And I'm sorry, I'm not impressed by that. I haven't been impressed by the Titans all year. I'm not big on them. So I like the Giants.
Jimmy, they put up 30 points against Chicago. Right. I know some of that was Chase Daniel being careless with the football, but still, they put up 30 points on Chicago. So
Saquon Barkley's last 4 games, 170, 125, 101, 142. Tennessee is 6th against the pass. They are 17th against the run. The Giants finally said, we realize Eli Manning isn't that good. Saquon is option 1. Eli in play action option 2. Somehow it took them a while to get to that, but they are there. I think that's all you need to know.
All right, we now go to the 4 o'clock games. Here's that stat I wanted to get young Cousins. So the Vikings are giving 7.5 to the Dolphins this week, and the Dolphins come in 7-6. Kirk Cousins' career record against winning teams, 4-24. That's
downright Matthew Stafford like.
Right. And now you're laying 7.5. So keep that one in mind.
Kirk Cousins, first quarterback in NFL history to go winless in his first 7 Monday Night Football starts.
Yes.
And yet they keep
7.
But it's not a Monday, and it is against a team with a winning record, but I do not treat the Dolphins like a winning record team. And
Kirk
maybe
Cousins.
I'm wrong about that.
But 4-24 against, that's the stat. That's
Scott, you would love $84 million guaranteed for a mediocre play.
I would. No argument here.
All right, we go to the.
I would have lost that all on the Steelers, by the way.
We go to the 4 o'clock slate. Only 2 4 o'clock games this week. You had five last week. Only two this week because of the two Saturday games, and obviously CBS wanted to clear everything for Patriots Steelers before, and thinking that was going to be the big one. Before we get to Patriots Steelers, the Seahawks go on the road, giving 3.5 to San Francisco. Total 44. Ben,
I mentioned earlier the piece of information about the road favorites. I think, ding, 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 this could be a winner. One thing that I've looked at.
Winner for who?
For the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay, so you like them plus 3.5.
I do. Okay. One thing that I've looked at the past few weeks is the money differential between percentage of bets and percentage of money coming in on certain teams. The past several weeks, big wins for teams that have seen a high differential there. Right now, 68% of the bets, and this is mostly offshore stuff. It's not calculating all Vegas books. They don't give out their information, but it's pretty representative. 68% of the bets on the Seahawks, 79% of the money on the 49ers. That 40% differential is unbelievably huge. I don't need to get into the reasons. Division game, and I just think the Seahawks have played with fire a little bit, and I don't know.
So you like San Fran,
I
Scott?
Do.
I like San Fran here as well. And what Ben just mentioned is what pounded that line down. That line was up at 6. It was even – Westgate had it at 6.5.
I should have bet it then.
On
waited like a moron.
On Tuesday morning.
Tell us why it went down.
Tuesday morning because of that money coming in on – I mean, that's a significant drop from 6.5 to 3.5. Right. You don't see that much
that's
in the NFL.
That's an injury drop usually.
Usually right. It is an injury drop, correct. Right. You know, short week – these teams are playing for the second time in a three-week period. I feel like, again, I sound like a little bit of a broken record this week. I do like a lot of unders this week. I like the under in this one as well. It has the feeling of a 20-17 type of game to me. And, yeah, the short week for the Seahawks, I'm still not a Seahawks believer. Maybe that's just me being stubborn. And I know that they won handily against the Vikings. If the flag isn't picked up on that field goal penalty that rightfully should have been called and I guess was called and then was uncalled, that could be a completely different game. That could end up being a Vikings win.
They still only scored 7 points.
They did only score 7 points, but, I mean, Wilson, what did he have, 70-something yards passing in that game? I think this could be an ugly game, and because of that, I like the points.
Well, listen, You said you're not a believer yet in the Seahawks. I am. I love the Seahawks here, -3.5. A couple of things. They're playing extremely well. Playoffs, they're fighting for a spot. Scott mentioned Wilson's lack of passing yards. What they've been doing on the ground, not with just their running backs, Wilson running the ball has been very effective. San Fran, huge win last week at Denver. They again at home against Denver, they burned me. I don't think they do it two in a row. And if Denver knew how to stop the tight end, they might not have been embarrassed. So I think Seattle's defense here can slow down Kittle and then pull out. You're only laying 3.5. And I love the fact that that line dropped because of money and not because of an injury, because that would have made me nervous. We got to – go ahead.
No, just a couple – the last few years, 49ers were terrible before Garoppolo got there. They lost the Seahawks by 3. 2 years ago, they were 2-14. They lost the Seahawks by 2. There's always one game between those teams that's close.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Seahawks win it easy, but I love the way the Seahawks are playing right now, and I love the fact that San Fran had a big sort of, it was 2014, but they really blew out the Broncos. So I think now
210 yards for a tight end in the first half,
right?
Ridiculous.
Yeah. That's not happening again. No. All right, we thought this would be a big one of the games of the year, but it's lost a little bit of luster, and it's the Patriots going into Pittsburgh. New England favored here by 2.5, total 52. Scott?
I like the Patriots in this game. I like the Patriots because of the recent history between these teams. I like them because there's something going on with the Steelers that isn't quite right. You don't go into Oakland and lose outright to that Raiders team. I think when you look at what Brady has done, in dominating the Steelers, 11-2 straight up, 10-2-1 against the spread, 30 touchdowns and 4 interceptions in those 13 games. The Steelers and Mike Tomlin do what they do, and what they do is get pressure on the quarterback by blitzing. That's not how you beat Brady. You get pressure with 4, and you have 7 in coverage. the Steelers are so stubborn and they just refuse to change up the way they defend the Patriots. I have no reason to believe they're going to do it here. I think there's going to be some points scored in this game. It is a high total. I'm not sure I would go over the total because I could see a lot of sustained drives. And I don't think either team's going to really be turning the ball over. So I could see a lot of yards and some points.
This is going to be a double-digit catch week for James White out of the backfield against those blitzes. There's no doubt about that.
It almost has to be, right? Yeah. And Gronkowski just dominates them. Right. Gronkowski is averaging over 110 yards per game against the Steelers in the six games he's played. He has 8 touchdowns in those games. The Steelers won't change the way they play defense against the Patriots. Until I see it, I have to take the Pats in this one.
Ben, Patriots minus 2.5.
Couple Tom Brady stats for you. 34-11 against the spread after a regular season loss. 21-10-1, that's 68% against the spread in the second of two straight road games, covering by 6.5 points per game. That's since 2003. And when the Pats face an opponent with a better than 500 record in this spot, Brady is 16-4. That's 80% against the spread. And plus, you know the history between these two teams. Love the Pats.
I like the Patriots, too, so congrats to all the Pittsburgh fans out there. Enjoy your W. Listen, this is what I said on the line. I'll say, I see Patriots minus, and if it's ever under 3, I bet them. I don't care about your stats. I don't care if the game's in Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Chicago, or the moon. It's the best quarterback in the sport, the best coach in the sport, and you only lay a field goal. I'll always, always, always take my chances. Without I don't have to analyze anything else, but I will say this. And I, you know, after that loss last week to the Dolphins, I have a funny feeling they're going to come out and be pissed off. And a pissed off Brady and Belichick, I'll ride it every time.
So when they have lost a divisional game as a favorite of 6 or more points, the following game, Patriots are 7-0 against the spread under Belichick.
There you go. Sunday night, the Eagles without Carson Wentz. Nick Foles now back in the helm after winning a Super Bowl. The Eagles go into L.A. to face the Rams, who have not covered that many games this year. I'm sure Scott has the stat. And the Rams are giving 11.5, total 52.5. Ben?
I still think it's too high. And some places had it 8.5. I don't know if the Wentz to Foles.
It was.
Move this year is worth 3 points. I still think it's too many. I might stay away because the Rams occasionally just go crazy and put up 45, and they have that in them, and because of that, it makes me a little nervous, but spread is too high. I'm definitely leaning Eagles.
The line doesn't scare me here. I think the Eagles have packed it in. I think the fact that
they're right on the cusp of the playoffs.
They're putting Wentz on the shelf. I really think they put him on the shelf.
But I think they can do both things. I think they can put Wentz on the shelf and not pack it in because they have Nick Foles. This is why they kept him. They won the Super Bowl with him last year. And this is a team, especially with Doug Peterson and that personality, that doesn't pack it in. I don't think the spirit of that team is to give up, even amidst all that adversity.
Well, the question here is, you could debate give up, not give up.
Right.
But, and I would have bought that maybe if Wentz was here. But Foles isn't going to come in and have the give up mentality. He's coming in like he hasn't played all year. I won a Super Bowl. You're getting an A-plus effort here. Does that scare you at all?
No, not at all. I just don't think. Look, the big factor in this game to me is Philadelphia's defense not being able to stop anybody. And the Dallas offense, it is a below-average offense, and they racked up 576 yards on the Eagles, right? The reason that game went in overtime and was close because Dallas was turning the ball over. I just don't see Philadelphia's defense, as banged up as that secondary has been and how many yards and points they've given up. I feel like that the Rams here have their way with it. They've been much better at home than on the road. They're averaging 37.7 points per game and 473 total yards. I could see a similar outcome when the Eagles went last month into New Orleans and lost 45-7. I don't think it's going to be a 38-point game, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is a 20-point outcome. You know, I'm feeling like it's something along the lines of 37-21. Feels like what the score of this one can be.
Go ahead, you have something.
They're 5-8-1 against the spread at home the last 2 years. I've just always been big about betting against the Rams at home in L.A. I think those lines are inflated.
All right, last game Monday night, Saints going into Carolina, -6.5. New Orleans, total 51.5. Panthers have collapsed, so they are getting 6.5 points at home. Scott.
Boy, I like Carolina in this game. That's why I have to pause. I like Carolina here. I do. I just think a divisional game, and I feel like the Panthers are going to show up with it. The last couple of weeks have been brutal. They've played four of their last five on the road. They are a Jekyll and Hyde home road team, Carolina is. They've lost five straight. One of them was at home. It was a Seattle game, and that was kind of a weird game. They lost it by three.
That was really fluky. If you looked at the way that game was played, that was a Panthers win in everything except the final score. Yep.
So I think they keep it close. I think this is a three-point game. You know, of the seven times these teams have played since 2015, five of those games have been decided by 5 points or fewer. So I think it's a close game. I'll take the home dog with the points here in this one.
Ben?
I agree with you. The only thing that makes me nervous is that Drew Brees is 9-5 against spread against Cam Newton, and for much of that period, the teams have been really even. I don't think the Saints have been better over their time in the league together, and so I don't like that Brees is four games up against the spread against Cam. But everything you said, Scott, I do agree with. I think at home, Panthers are 4-2 there. They still have hope, and hope means a lot this time of year, and I think they cover, and I think they maybe went outright.
Listen, if I had to pick a side, I'd go Saints, because I just think I don't. The Panthers are losing all these games, and I don't like what I'm hearing after the games. I'm hearing, you know, we don't know what's going on. We don't know why we're betting. It hasn't been that we got to come out fighting with this. It's more of like they don't know what's going on. That's a bad sign. But I wouldn't bet the side. I love the over. I think the Panthers' defense is pathetic, and I think the Saints, who were struggling there on offense until last week where they put up 28 against Tampa, I think now they get back rolling again, and I think Michael Thomas will absolutely go off against that really bad Panthers secondary on Monday night. All right, that wraps up the slate for Week 15. We now go to the best bets. All right, Scott, please kick us off. How many you got for us?
I've got a six-pack. Okay. I'm going with two sides, and I'm going with four totals. The sides, I'm taking the Colts at home against the Dallas Cowboys, Colts laying 3. I am taking the Buffalo Bills. They are laying 2.5 at home to the Lions.
Two on this.
Two.
Yeah, so take that half point and enjoy.
I will. And then for the totals, I've got one over, and that is over 43.5 in the Giants-Titans game. And then I've got three unders for you. I am going under in the Oakland-Cincinnati game.
46.
I think 46 is a very high number there. I'm going under in Arizona-Atlanta.
That 44?
Is 44. And I am also going under 44 in Seattle San Francisco.
All right. Ben, your first time doing this? Well, I was going to say something dirty.
He's sitting on my side of the table.
I was going to say something. I don't know. It almost came right out. Your first time doing this, what do you got? How many best bets for the listeners out there who think they're going to take advantage of the new guy and make some money?
Hey, beginner's luck. Let's do it. I got three for you.
Okay.
Let's start with Arizona. Taking
plus 10?
Plus 10.
Okay.
Getting 10 against the Falcons.
Perfect fill-in for Gary. Arizona plus 10.
Please go with the Lions. Please
I love it. I love it. I mean, in a huge bounce-back game for Gary Grambling, mostly.
That's it.
I got the Giants. I'm on board. We all love them.
-2?
I think they win by a touchdown or more. And I like that under in Washington, Jacksonville.
36.
I don't care. I think it's a 12-6 game. If you think it's a 12-6 game,
yeah, bet the under.
Bet the under.
12-6, 12-4, 8-4, 8-2.
2-2 tie.
All right, I got 5 for you. Giants -2 at home against the Titans. I love the under 47 Cowboys-Colts, that strong Cowboy defense. Seattle -3.5 on the road at San Fran. The Patriots -2.5 at Pittsburgh. Last one over 51.5 Saints Panthers. I think that one's got up and down the field written all over it. All right, that wraps up this edition of the MMQB podcast for week 15 in the NFL. My thanks to Ben Teitelbaum for filling in for Gary Grambling this
week. Good job, Ben. Thanks, buddy.
Gary will be back next week, and as will we, for week 16 in the NFL. Good luck this week, and thanks for joining us.
Have a profitable weekend, everybody.
Tip of the hat to Albert, another strong edition of MMQB. Did you know your favorite team has a daily podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network? Steelers fans, we have you covered with Locked On Steelers. Cowboys fans, it's Locked On Cowboys. And Chiefs fans, it's Locked On Chiefs. You get the picture. Search Locked On, your favorite team. Search on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for Locked On, your favorite team. Or tell your smart speaker to play podcasts Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.